I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Jokes with Mark Simmons, the podcast where I chat to another comedian about jokes they can't get to work. This week, it live in the studio, we have got friend of the podcast, we have got Jokes Podcast Patreon regular, we've got Mr. Comedian Danny Ward.
Hello everyone.
How are you, Danny?
Good, thanks. It's not my episode, is it? I'm just introducing.
You're just doing the intro. Yeah, you're the new regular.
Can't be turning over that much new material, Mark, to fill up a spot every week.
Have you got anything new you've been working on lately? What's been happening? Is it? What's anything you want to?
Well, yeah, I did this great new material night in Exeter on Tuesday. There was giddy as newborns, and I don't know if that's a saying.
So the whole gig went really well, all your new stuff. Does that ever worry you?
It wasn't an authentic barometer of how good the stuff was.
No.
But at the same time, if you had a choice of whenever you say something new for the first time, if it's played to silence or a massive laugh, you'd rather have a massive laugh.
Yeah.
And know that it's over the top.
Were there differences in the laughs where you thought that bit definitely will work?
To be honest, I peppered it. Obviously, you know, I peppered it with some old pieces as well. Mm. Just to keep your pecker up, really. So you're not always constantly looking at your notes and thinking. So actually, it was an older piece that got the least interest. I'll tell you the bit that went pretty well, and that was regarding my Soda Stream.
Okay.
Because I'm talking about looking to find savings. Do you remember?
Yeah.
So my electric heated towel rail, yep. Now just a towel rail.
Yeah, nice.
The dishwasher is now just an expensive electric metal cupboard with dirty plates in it.
Yeah.
And then I was looking for a third one. And I said, and you know, obviously it's expensive when you've got a 4-can-a-day Coke Zero habit like me. So I bought a Soda Stream.
Yeah.
And I say, when I bought my Soda Stream, someone said to me, oh, Danny, you like carbonated water, do you? And I said, carbonated water? What do you think this is? Hour one, day one of owning the Soda Stream? As if there's a liquid in my flat that I haven't made fizzy. And before you ask, it tastes exactly like you'd imagine.
What?
And then I say, get your heads out of the gutter.
What?
Obviously, I'm talking about piss. That's what I did. It's all right, isn't it? Because actually, what I was thinking of is milk.
That's a great reverse.
Because I was thinking of milk.
Right.
Fizzy
okay.
milk. That's what I think people are thinking.
Are they?
Well, I don't know, but that's what I would think.
So I wasn't, like, I, when you were saying that, I wasn't sure what I was supposed to be thinking.
Mm.
So that might be an issue at other gigs, the more you try it. But I don't know if that even matters, because as soon as you said, keep your mind out of the gutter, and then you said,
say piss.
Yeah.
I mean, I wrote that bit on stage. I was going to say spunk at one point, but technically, it's a bit gross, and also you wouldn't be able to produce enough to fit into the bottle. I mean, I think it's damn near a litre, I think.
I really like that, but because maybe you might be able to word the into it to make them think it's something like piss, and then you're correcting them and then doubling back on it.
Yeah, I mean, I just said that piss on stage out loud, knowing that they'd laugh at it, even though it might be a bit cheap.
I don't think that's cheap.
No, maybe it isn't.
It's clever, because you're saying to them, this isn't this isn't a disgusting piss joke.
Yeah.
And then you're going, obviously I'm talking about piss. Oh, that's funny. Yeah. I think that's good.
Well, mate, I've had SodaStream written down in my book for about a year. So, you know, it's good to...
What, to make it tax deductible?
Yeah, good point. Oh, that is a good point. Because I can refer back to the tax deductible thing a few times in the show. I was thinking about wearing, or at some point putting on, the stab-proof vest.
Oh, yeah.
To make that tax deductible as well.
We could cover this in future episodes, all these different things that you've purchased. I feel like we're going to end up doing an entire episode in the intro. So,
oh yeah, good point.
Yeah,
let's
move on. So that's perfect. That's really good.
I forgot we're doing the intro.
Just an episode. So well, there you go. I was going to ask you what you've been up to, and you covered that, Danny, because you've been doing a new material gig. And I was going to say, have you got any jokes that you've been working on? And that's all covered in that. So that's perfect.
Getting quite slick now.
Yeah. Lovely stuff. Okay, well, this week we've got a cracking guest. We have got Mike Cox, the comedian. You know Mike Cox.
I do know Mike Cox, yeah.
Any Mike Cox?
I'm not going to give any dirt on Mike Cox because he just booked me for his gig.
So, I see.
Unfortunately, no room at the inn there, Mark.
So let's get cracking with the episode. Here is Mike Cox.
Great comic.
Down, 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 down. Down, down. Down, 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 down. Down, down. Down, down. Down, down. So, so you left the police. I didn't know you'd left the police.
I have, yeah, left them.
What did you do wrong?
Do you want to, there's a murky backstory. Do you want to know it?
I mean, can it go on the podcast?
Probably.
Yeah, okay.
So basically, in the police, you have to, I'll give you the short version. You have to apply and be allowed to do anything outside of policing.
Okay.
So obviously I've been doing comedy for a long time. And every year I have to apply to say, can I keep doing it, please?
Do you? Right.
Yeah. And then this year, through some various issues that I won't go into because it's quite long, they decided that they were going to take that away from me. Said, you can't do comedy anymore.
I think everyone wants to know the issues.
Oh, basically. All right. So during the pandemic, working from home was an issue. My wife started working from home.
Yeah.
We've obviously got two young kids. So she's trying to work from home, look after them, while I'm still having to go to work.
Right.
So I was a trainer as well, just so that the listener didn't realise I wasn't like shirking my responsibilities on the front line. I was a trainer.
Yeah.
And I was basically like staying at home a bit longer in the morning to try and help the missus, which they didn't like.
Okay.
And I explained my situation. They still didn't like it.
Oh, so nothing to do with comedy then?
No, nothing to do with comedy.
Oh, right. That's boring. Boring.
Yeah.
Get to the juicy bits.
Well, that's what I mean. That's what I've done. So basically, they said, you can't do comedy no more. So I was like, you can't do that because comedy's not the reason why I'm not coming in on time.
Yeah.
And bearing in mind, there's been a pandemic. I've done 13 gigs in nearly 2 years. So ain't that, is it? So they basically wouldn't back down.
Unbelievable.
And they said, if you carry on gigging, then you're going to get done for gross misconduct.
How can they possibly, like, the fact that you've done it for so long, that makes zero sense. I had this. It's not quite as extreme as yours, but when I was working at the university, my boss just had an issue with me doing comedy. He couldn't stop me, but he would like I wouldn't get promotions and things like that. Like he just was really bothered him because he thought it would make me tired at work and all that sort of thing.
Yeah,
but then. I'm not saying it's the equivalent, but whatever. No, I am. People have children, and they would come in tired, but nothing said about that. So what's the difference? Just because I made a life choice of like doing this as a job as well as instead of having children, what's the difference?
Well, I said that in one of the meetings. I was like, so you can't take comedy away from me. The reason I'm being late is because I've got two kids. If you're going to take anything, take one of them.
is that material? Have you used that?
Well, I've not used it for that.
That's really funny.
I actually said that in the meeting.
But that's really funny. That's great. That's a really...
But I'm thinking that I might try to write something about it. Because another thing that's funny about it is that, and I've got to be careful because I'm technically still under investigation.
Oh, what do you mean?
Because so basically, right, I am currently under investigation for gross misconduct because I failed to comply with a lawful order to not perform comedy anymore, right? And the case against me is because I did Swindon Buzz Bingo.
Oh no, if anything's going to bring you down, mate, don't let it be Swindon Buzz Bingo.
What annoys me, right, and this is, I mean, if anyone from who are investigating me are listening to this, I played Hackney Empire. If you're going to have anything on a permanent record, can it be that one, please?
So how did they find out that you'd done it?
Well, the Federation, who are defending me, seem to think that they must have sent an undercover officer to watch me.
I mean,
Swindon.
That guy, what a poor guy, sitting for a Buzz Bingo.
That's probably why I'm getting stuck on. If it had come to Hackney Empire, he'd gone, let him go. It's obviously a dream. But he's come to Swindon and gone, this guy, I'm trying to rescue him.
This guy has some sort of mental health issues. Because why would he risk his lovely career in the police to stand in front of five people that aren't paying any attention, haven't paid to come in? No. That's hilarious.
I threw away 15-year pension for that.
That's hilarious.
But yeah, anyway, I'd resigned because they said you can't do comedy. I was like, well, I'm not going to get anywhere with you lot. I think they were thinking I liked policing more than I liked comedy.
Right.
So yeah, I just resigned.
And so any promoters out there, book Mike Cox. He needs it now, big time.
Yeah, I've got two hungry kids just looking at me now.
And that's the police's fault. Isn't that stupid?
Yeah.
I mean, technically, it's your fault. You could have given that comedy.
I could have, but I wasn't going to.
No.
I'm a maverick, mate.
You are. But and also, I mean, I don't like being told what to do, especially when I know I'm in the right.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Wow. Blimey. So you're sort of, what are you doing now? Are you just going to go fully in for comedy?
So I'm trying to.
Because you've got a family, it's tough, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I've got a mortgage, two kids and that. So I'm doing all right out of it, but you know, it's difficult, isn't it, to maintain like regular cash. So
yeah, man, the only way I could go full time when I did was I got Sean Walsh invited me to support him for a whole tour. So I just knew I had 50 dates in the diary and then you can work from that.
Yeah.
And that was the only, I don't know if I'd even be full-time now if I didn't have it. I don't know. It's tough to make that jump and I hadn't got the kids or anything.
Yeah. Well, I got a job now. I work basically 4.5 days a week as well as a trainer for the National Trust.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Yeah, just nice, simple training, the same thing every day. It's a nice job, and they're really supportive as well.
Ah, perfect.
Like, yeah, so like if I've got a gig in the evening, so basically my job is I teach quite a lot on online WebEx and stuff like that. But if there's like a face to face thing, like where I have to travel, I'll just say to Becca who books it and say like I've got a gig, can you make sure I get back for it? And she'll just make sure. I actually moved an entire meeting session the other day so I could get back for a gig.
Oh, amazing! I was completely opposite. Yeah. Oh, that's great. So before in your act, you didn't really talk about the police, did you?
No.
Does that mean now you might start talking about things that happened?
Could
this affect your tribunal?
Oh, I'm not bothered anyway. The worst thing they can do to me is disbar me, so stop me ever going back to work for them, which bothered. I don't care about anyway.
Bothered.
It's just a principal thing, Lisa. Like, I just want to win because I'm right.
Yes.
Not because I care.
And what
about
would you get? Could you get compensation for that? Or should we not be talking about this?
I don't know. I don't know if we should, to be fair. I don't know, to be fair.
No.
Okay. Kind of just sort of like compartmentalized it.
So have you got stuff that you've had stored that have happened that you thought one day I might be able to talk about this?
So yeah, there is a bit actually that I thought would be funny. It's the problem is, it's quite a lot of the stories that you remember are always dark. And even though they might be funny to sort of people who have lived it, the general public are just a bit like, I can't get on board with this.
Right.
So like one of the funniest things that ever happened was, it was actually the first time I'd ever dealt with a dead body.
Okay. I mean, that's I guess you don't think about that when people are going into police, that you will at some point have to see everything.
Yeah.
What? Yeah.
Yeah. So that what happened was, and I'll try to be a bit loose with the details.
How far into your tenure was it?
Oh, this was like, so you do, when I started, you did 15 weeks training and then you went out to a professional development unit where you basically did 6 weeks like adaptation from training to frontline. Yeah. And it was in there. So I'd literally been uniform frontline officer for 2 weeks.
So they don't bring dead bodies into the training centre?
No. You get shown pictures of crime scenes and stuff.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, so we went to this house where this bloke had died in the bath. And he was quite a big chap.
I'm trying not to laugh at anything you say now because it feels awkward, which is probably what happens in
this
the game.
This is exactly the point, yeah. So he was, a fat guy, naked, dead in the bath.
Spider-Man, there's the joke.
Yeah, couldn't get out. So
classic.
So we had to lift him out of the bath. It's been my first time I've ever seen a dead body, and now I have to touch it.
Oh my god!
Naked. So we're basically it's me.
Why were you naked?
Well, so I was going to enjoy the moment. So basically, I had to lift him out. So it's me, my other mate who just joined, and two undertakers. We're lifting him out of the bath, and I had his arm. Undertaker had one arm. My mate had the bit in the middle, and he had a strap that went under his butt and had to lift him out. You know, like the trucking straps are like quite hefty. So as we lift him up like that, and the guy's naked penis is literally centimetres from my mate Pete's face. I just said his name and work out who he was now. And because he's there and he's going, I start laughing, which makes the other people laugh. And then while we're laughing, obviously it starts shaking. So it's like shaking and you go, and it was just that, I remember that being funny. And then we eventually get him out. And because he's so big, we can't get him down the stairs on the gurney thing. So what we had to do was we had to go downstairs and say to the family, we're just going to move him out. We're going to take him to the van. It could be a very difficult and emotional time. We might have to leave the house. So I get the family to leave. And as soon as they're gone, the undertakers let him slide down the stairs. It was controlled, but it was still like weird.
Oh, yeah. That's hilarious.
See, I think that's funny, but people...
It is funny. That is... You put that in the Naked Gun as a scene... That would be really funny.
Yeah, I always thought that would be a funny sitcom.
If you put it in something where it's so clear it's not real.
Yeah,
like that sort of comedy. That's
I've always had this idea that as well. Like if you put it in a film or something exactly like that, where you have somebody sort of like using the downstairs toilet, which is obviously normally behind the stairs, and as you let the body down, it gets stuck, goes through, and then the head comes through, and then the person sat there and the head sees the head comes through. I always thought that would be funny.
Actually, thinking about it, I think if it was a really dark drama and like a really serious sort of moment, and then all that happened, that'd be hilarious. I think the trouble is when you know it's a real person,
yeah,
in stand-up. But have you ever said it on stage?
Yeah, so when I knew I was leaving, I thought, let's just... I was emceeing, and I just thought, let's just try that funny story. Because I do that quite a lot with an idea. I don't tend to write that much. I'll just go like, this is a story. Let's see if I can find out where the beats are and if there's something funny in it. And this one, like when I told it, I mean, the audience wasn't exactly right. It was, I just thought, just tell it and see what happens. And it didn't do very well. And it's because they were mostly... young teenagers and stuff, and I guess they're all a bit sensitive about that stuff.
And you were telling it verbatim, as in what happened.
Yeah.
Or did you? Because I can't. Like, are you totally sort of? You're not completely kind of handcuffed. I just got good handcuffed to the truth, are you? Like, because like for example, when you were telling the story, and I said you said naked, and I went, why were you naked? Like, would you add little mini jokes like that as you go, and I don't know why we were naked. Do you know what I mean? Would that add to it?
If they come to me, I would do.
Would that make it? Do you think that helps the sort of make the audience sort of chill out about the realism of it? Do you think?
Yeah, I think that would actually work. It's not something I employ when I write stuff a lot.
No, so maybe it
would definitely help some of that stuff.
But would it suit you? Do you think?
Depends on how far. Detached from reality it is. If it's just like a little funny quip, you know, like
and then you go, no, I'm just joking. It's that sort of thing, isn't it? Yeah. But why were they a kid? Nah, just playing. His cock was by his mouth. Like, it's that sort of...
Yeah, I think that would probably soften it up a bit. Whereas before, like the story I just told there, it's very like, I'm dealing with a dead person and I think this is funny.
Yeah. But also, maybe if you did like a full show about your time in the police,
yeah.
One, they'd come in more prepared for what you're going to be talking about and buy into it more, I guess. I guess if you're just doing a 20-minute set at the start of a night and you open with, you know, you start talking about moving a dead body.
Yeah.
And also maybe the times at the moment it's worse because death is a bit more kind of...
Yeah, and you've got to be really careful when you talk about stuff like that. Because what I mean, if you just look at recently, those idiot cops that took pictures of themselves at that crime scene with them two women, they just got imprisoned. So, like, if you don't pick and choose the time in which you tell audience members you're a police officer, it can go either way. Like, that's one of the reasons I've never ever mentioned it, not just because I was actually doing it at the time, but because people actually don't like us that much. I say us, not me anymore.
No. So, well, this could be a thing. Maybe you need to rile them up to hate the police. But then you talking about laughing about some bloke that died in the bath, maybe that'll make you hate you even more. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. There's always that risk.
That's the trouble, isn't it? Because it's because it depends as an audience. I guess it depends how you go into it. But if you at all get in your head, well, when you said about his family and you had to get him out of the house, that then makes it real, doesn't it? That actually, that their body has a... family.
I totally get it because
when you're in a job and you have to, I get totally what you mean, when you and all the other policemen in that situation are all in this moment, and it's that thing of it's laughing at a funeral, isn't it? It's that kind of when you know you're not supposed to, but then you sort of it's like a you band together, don't you?
Yeah, and you've got to really, because if you took on board every single emotion at everything you went to, you'd never cope.
No, but maybe you need to say that at the beginning.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So really get across why that's funny.
It needs more context, because the thing is, nothing about my normal persona suggests that I never talk about it.
No.
I don't sound like one. It's been even said to me before, even when I worked there, like the student officers that I used to train would just be like, I can't believe you're, how are you a police officer? Because I don't look or sound like one.
It's like, a bit left field to suddenly then start talking about it.
Yeah,
I think they have no idea. But what was the thing, the joke we thought of, well, you thought, you said it earlier and I said, is that material?
Oh.
What was that again?
Yeah, so basically they said they were going to take comedy off me and I said, comedy's not to blame.
Okay, about and then take the child. Well, if you open it, your set or around the opening, so talk about the fact that you've just gone full-time comedy and that happened and there's a joke establishing the situation, maybe that's a nice way to... ease them into it when you talk about it later.
Yeah, maybe start, because that's what I'd quite like to do actually. When I think about writing a show, I think that's probably something I quite, because it's quite interesting, isn't it? Like people love, everybody loves crime stuff, police stuff and stuff like that.
I mean, yeah, true crime is
yeah
so big at the moment.
Yeah, so I think it would.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Well, especially from my angle, like, but to start at the end and go, right, so I'm not a cop anymore and this is why.
Yeah.
So now I'm free to tell you all about what happened.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a great angle, especially the fact that doing the show is the reason that you got kicked out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I'd just like to clarify for you, this is, I left at my own accord. I was not
hooked. Imagine this gets quoted in court.
I'm like, well, it could do.
Wow. Oh, no. Am I going to go to court? And am I going to... Am I going to be giving evidence against you?
I doubt it. They'll just copy it off.
I hope I haven't got going to court and act out the bit with the willy. And I had a court joke. What was that? I got kicked out of the Old Bailey for masturbating, court wanking. I really liked it, but it never really hit. But I'm still there. If anything comes up, then, you know, literally. but I thought that's good. Do you think people maybe don't know the Old Bailey? Do you know what I mean? Like, is that a common... Because you can't say court twice.
Yeah.
So...
It's the most famous of all the
that's
courts.
What I think.
If you're going to use one, it's got to be that one.
Unless I was watching my... Is there another way, a hearing? That doesn't really... I was in a hearing, got kicked out of a hearing. No, that doesn't work because that doesn't have to be in court.
That could be anywhere as well.
What could only be in court? I was given evidence and I was given evidence in a criminal case and got kicked out for masturbating. Court wanking. Is that too?
I wonder if it's because the audience, when you say Old Bailey, are thinking, court. So when you say court, they're not surprised. So I wonder whether
that's very interesting. If Old Bailey, you know what, mate? That's fascinating.
Yeah.
Because quite often when you change a word, it doesn't instantly make you think of the other word that you're trying to stop them thinking of. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas that, you're right. People go, oh, a court. And then you go, court wanking. So it's almost the equivalent of saying the word.
Saying the word twice.
Wow. That's the first time that's ever come up in this. That's really interesting.
Well, I'm not messing about here. Do you know
what I mean? You are going full whack into this comedy lark, aren't you? You're not messing about. You're forensically looking at comedy.
Yeah. What about if you were like playing tennis?
I mean, that's kind of creepier, isn't it? Almost. That feels creepier.
Yeah.
Court wanking. I was playing tennis. I got kicked out of a tennis club for masturbating. Court wanking. That could be it, mate. That slight change might make the difference. Isn't that weird? I would never have thought about that. But you say tennis, you don't think of court.
No. It's not the first thing
you do. This is a good soundbite for this podcast. That's great.
Well, just try to do what I can do when I can do it, Mark.
Well, I'm just going to, just work it so that I say what you said. And I I'm the intelligent one.
Okay, do you want to do it again?
Yeah, can we?
That was a really great idea, Mark. I can't believe you thought of that.
Well, what, the idea about they think about court as soon as I say Old Bailey?
Yeah, I'd never considered that before.
No, well, you know, I've been doing this podcast a long time, mate. You know, you pick this stuff up.
Exactly, that's why you're the best.
Cut. So what else have you got down, mate?
So I've got a few bits. So the one bit that hasn't been... working probably more recently, and again I feel like I'm pigeonholing myself into a particular type of comedy, but this bit was about my nan passing away, and again straight away it's because
everyone puts themselves in your shoes, don't they?
Yeah So the joke is about my nan passing away.
Before hearing it,
yeah,
can you change it to granddad? Because I had a joke about an old lady falling over that was hit or miss, and I changed it to an old man, and it works every time.
Well, positive discrimination. Let's see if it works. So, all right then, my granddad.
Oh, it's great. I love this one.
So, my granddad passed away, which was all very sad, but it was made a lot easier by the fact that he died of smoking-related illness. Because what happened to him is that he got ill and he had to have his leg removed, and he got better, and then he got ill again. He had the other one chopped off. And then after he got ill again...
I feel bad even making jokes about it during.
I didn't help you then. I just sort of looked at you and go. So lost both legs and eventually passed away. Right. It was still a shock, but not as bad as it would have been if he'd gone just like that. We got used to the idea of him going as he slowly faded away, like one of those pictures from Back to the Future.
That's great. I like that. That's funny. Yeah.
So, but I think what's happened is not as the further we get away.
There's nothing wrong with his legs. Big fan of Back to the Future.
Yeah. So basically, that's what happened. And people just, I think they just don't know whether or not they should laugh at it.
Yeah,
but I'm gonna
try
it with
Granddad,
actually.
Yeah, I think granddad's, bad things happening to old ladies isn't as funny as bad things happening to old men.
Yeah.
I think. It'd be interesting to see that. But the Back to the Future line is great because, but again, it's like young people now.
It's an old reference.
Do that, yeah. Like if you went to Top Secret and they're all early 20s, are they going to get that? Like,
yeah.
Like I dated a girl who was 25 a few years ago.
All right, show off.
I know. I knew you were going to say that. She's actually 24, but I thought I'd have it up a bit. So, oh, God. And she'd never seen Back to the Future.
Mad, isn't it?
Or any of the best films. Like, so, yeah, that could be an issue.
That's the risk you have, I think.
But you are going to get a bigger laugh from the people that do not like Back to the Future, because I really enjoyed that reference when you said it. So yeah. I got quite a lot out of that. But you are talking about someone losing legs.
Yeah.
And it's hard. It's a hard one.
Yeah, and it's a tricky one as well, because I think sometimes people don't know that you're telling the truth. So
yes, and you're so not, because it wasn't your granddad.
No, it wasn't my granddad, it was my nan. But she did lose her legs. Like, she did. So, like, that is my story to tell, but you run the risk of people going like, oh, he's just making fun of people with no legs. And I understand why people might think that.
Yeah. Well, no, it doesn't feel like that, does it? I think if they've got a problem with it, it's kind of, you're acting like it's not a big deal. Do you know what I mean? It's, I don't know. I think it's good.
Yeah.
So did you try that? You did try
it? So I've tried it a couple of times. And I've tried it from different extremes. So the first time I tried it, I tried it from the view of like, nobody cared when my nan died because we just sort of got like expected it. And then obviously that's worse. People are like, didn't care.
Yeah. They're judging you instantly.
Yeah. So then I sort of softened it up as like, it was terrible when she died, but it was made easier because.
Yeah. And it's what she would have wanted because she loved Back to the Future. Do you know what I mean? If you made it more kind of, she'd have enjoyed this joke. Do you know what I mean?
Do you know what? You've just reminded me of something actually that happened in the police that was funny. Yeah. So basically there was this guy who was known for being a flasher.
Right.
And he died and one of our colleagues had to go to his flat to find him. And they found him and he was, he only had a t-shirt on and he was laid on the floor with his legs open. And they told us this in the briefing. And I just went, oh, just the way he would have wanted.
Yeah.
Just wipe that down. So
I can't believe they sacked you, mate.
Just to clarify again on the podcast, I left on my own accord. I wrote my own resignation letter and everything.
Brilliant.
Do you know, Jeff Innocent is one of the main reasons why I never mentioned being a cop as well.
Why is that?
Because I saw him years and years and years ago at a Jongleurs and he mentioned the police and the whole crowd went, "Boo!"
Yeah.
I was like, I can't tell anyone.
Oh, that's so funny how those little things can stay in your brain there.
Mm.
Wow. Any others?
So I had one ages ago. And this is one of those jokes where I tried it in a place that doesn't matter what you try, it always seems to work in there. And then you take it to another club and you're like, this don't work.
Wow. What's the difference between the place? What place does it work?
So it worked at the Arundel Jailhouse.
What's that?
Have you never done that? You must have done that gig before. In Arundel, there's underneath the old courthouse, there's a little gig underground in the jail cells.
Is this in the Midlands? Where's Arundel? I don't know where that is.
West Sussex.
Oh, I don't think I've ever done that.
Between like Chichester and Worthing.
No, I've never done that.
Oh, see that one. When you're new, it's only a small room, so it's not a big payer.
Right.
But like when you're starting out, it's like one of the first places that I headlined. And if you've had like a really shitty gig, like or a little run, you want to have Arundel at the end of the week because you could just go there and fart in a trumpet and they'll be like, yes, this guy's okay. the best. So I tried a bit of new in there. And they were like, yeah, this is really funny. And then I did it twice more and people were just like, were not on board with it. And it was just a joke about the A-team and the idea that, again, showing my age with my references, but it's the idea that they are for hire, but they're wanted. So how do you get hold of them in a time of no internet? You don't like, they're meant to be impossible to find because they're wanted, but any old Tom, Dick and Harry can hire them. So there's that that's not addressed properly. There's also never been an episode where Hannibal was turned up to give a quote.
No.
So like, you know, at no point have they ever turned up and gone, and then I do used to do this bit about a breakdown of him rocking up going, so what seems to be the issue? Because, oh, we've got into some big trouble with some drug dealers. And they go, drug dealers, okay, right. Domestic or Colombian? You go Colombian, you go, oh, it's going to cost you. And then they never deliver the quote. And then there's never the argument, or like, you know, like when you pay someone to do a job and you have to settle the invoice. If you'd hired the A-team, like they never actually killed anyone. So all they did was, it's like hiring somebody to get rid of a wasp's nest. And all they do is come and twat it with a stick and expect payment. You've just agitated these drug dealers. You've not solved the problem. They're just annoyed. So like, it'll be, I'm not paying for this. And then I'd say like, and what is this on here? Like, I'm not paying for chicken wire, no more nails and cardboard boxes. What is this? And they go, oh, he built a tank. But I think it's too convoluted.
I think it's too old knowledge. To reference. Yeah, yeah. I think the A-team is such a... Even the film, The A-Team, that was the remake, is old now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the trouble. I did enjoy you talking about it, though, because I used to love The A-Team.
Yeah.
When I was a kid. So I got really into it.
These are the type of stupid observations I make.
Yeah. So when would you have seen that, like thought about that? Because that's not even on TV now.
No, I don't know.
Just you just liked The A-Team back in the day. What's your next bit about Knight Rider?
this next bit about is about Shaft. Actually, this next bit actually is a bit about a slightly more modern movie. But again, I'm not sure the subject matter.
We're seeing a lot that you. So I like this. So you watch things, and then as you're watching stuff, you're thinking about logic and angles.
Yeah,
I like that. Like, because I like material about stuff that I've seen and I haven't made that observation. I like going, oh, why didn't I think of that? That's great. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like Bobby Mayer's bit about X-Men that he did years ago about, I don't even know. Who's the bald guy? What's his name? Isn't it?
What, the character? Professor Xavier.
No, that's it. About if he could move anything with his mind, then why doesn't he move his legs? It's just great logic. I like that.
Yeah. Can you imagine what that would look like? That is a great bit. I love Bobby Bear. So yeah, the next observation I had, again, I think it's got, pardon the pun, I think it's got legs, but I just need to try and work it out a bit more friendly. Yeah. So have you seen the film Sully?
Yes, with Tom Hanks.
Yeah, he lands a plane on the Hudson.
Yeah. Oh, I had a joke about that. I wrote a joke about that. I hope it's not the same one. I wrote about a joke about that before the film came out. So I read the article about him doing it, because the birds might be wrong, but a load of geese or something flew into the engine.
Yeah.
And then they had to land the plane. And then the report, the headline said that there were no casualties. I was like, wow, I didn't think geese would survive that. Which I thought was really good. And then when the film came out, I was like, oh, I can recycle this joke now.
Did it go down all right?
Yeah, landed.
Yes! I was hoping you'd do that.
Sorry.
So, yeah, that's great. My joke was about how the scariest part in that film for me was the bit that happens not when the plane hits the water, but in the credits. If you remember in the credits, they show you the real people.
Oh, okay.
And they all meet in this warehouse, and they meet up every year. And that is the most terrifying thing for me, that social anxiety and awkwardness about having to meet up with 100 strangers every year. Like, the chances are you're not going to like some of them. And to feel that pressure of having to do, like, that is so off-putting to me that if I was in a crisis situation, I would think twice about saving anything just to avoid having to meet up with people once a year. So,
yeah, it's a funny idea.
Yeah. And I went on and I tried it a bit more. I'd say, look, for example, if something really bad was to happen in here right now, I've already decided at least 6 people in this room that I don't ever want to see again. And that sometimes would get a laugh.
You.
Yeah.
But would it be funny if you did it where you're talking about the story and they go, wouldn't that have been awful to be a part of that? And then the punchline be to have to see those people every year. Do you know what I mean? So you're making them think you're going to say you had to go through that ordeal of that plane crash and then do a reveal to ignite the laugh, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like there's definitely something in it. And people, it is funny observation, isn't it? That kind of not wanting to socialise and...
Yeah. If I can avoid any sort of awkward social interaction, I will do. Because I did, it is something I have tried a couple of times and then it didn't work as well. So I sort of like tried to play with it a bit. And I tried it at a new material night probably about 3 months ago and it didn't go too bad. Right. So I just need to work out what the difference is of what I've been saying.
Do you record your stuff and then watch back how you say it?
I record a lot of it. I don't tend to listen back to it that much, which I need to do. I've got about...
You know what? It does help. Because I was same as you. Like, I'd always record and then never look back. But since I've been editing videos, I have to watch back stuff. And I do notice things. And when I try new jokes every time... And it's quite nice having that record because if it works and doesn't work, you can then go back and go, how did I actually say it that first time?
Yeah.
And quite often it's like these slight, subtle differences.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's sometimes you find as well, it's just if you deliver something with a little bit more, I don't know, like joy in your voice or, you know, even if you just like, you look like you're joking, then sometimes it goes down a bit better. But I find as well, I tend to used to say a lot of things quite angry and quite like straight faced. But then sometimes I find the room takes to me a bit more if I just like, it's a bit smiling, go, this is stupid. You know, like,
yeah. I tell you what, there's a joke. I won't do the joke because I can't be bothered, but it's not needed. But it's like, it's a bigger bit, but it's a bit I used to do years ago. And then when I was doing the Leicester Square show, I was recording it and I might be put it out as a special or something. So I was doing that bit again. And I discovered that there's one bit where I'd sort of be talking and then I'd hit the punchline and I'd have to sort of look behind me. And I'd normally do it, I'd say, I'll just check. That's the line where I turn.
Yeah.
And I'd say it in the same face expression as I've been saying the rest of it. And then by accident, I just was saying the normal bit and then went totally straight face and went, I'll just check. So just serious.
Yeah.
Because it's a bit where I'm an idiot, but I don't realise it. Get some big, much bigger laugh every time. I've never known that because I've always put everything into the wording of jokes and like the craft side of the wording to the difference between big laugh and little laugh. But like it's the first time I've sort of gone, oh, wow, that's just a slight facial expression change and it's ignited a much bigger laugh.
Yeah.
I find that weird.
Yeah, and even just like playing with the length of silence in between things that you say.
Mm.
Like, you know, you could say set up and then punch, but, you know, is the joke funny if you go set up, punch? Like just...
Yeah. I mean, with mine, I've got some jokes that work really well if I leave a long pause. And other jokes where it's detrimental to leave a long pause. And I actually have to say it much quicker because there's a risk of them spotting where I'm going.
Yeah.
So it's all about trying to find that. So it's like, if there's a joke that you think's good, I think you need to do it loads of times in different ways to really work out what the best way of doing it is.
Yeah.
Down, 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 down. Down, down,
down now. Mike Cox! Hashtag awooga to Mike Coxer. Lovely stuff. Great episode. Any feedback, let us know at Jokes with Mark across all social media. Great stuff. That was a fun chat. I like Mike Cox.
Yeah, good guy. Real good guy. Good comedian. And as said, I'll be doing his gig shortly, so.
We could give it a plug. Where's his gig?
Saturday, the 11th of June. Leon Solent.
Leon Solent. There we go. Be there or be square. Also, if you want to listen to the rest of the interview with Mike, you can do so by signing up over at patreon.com/jokeswithmark. There's over 100 extra podcasts there, and you can sign up for as little as £3 a month. And that's patreon.com/jokeswithmark. I have just said that. I forgot I'd said it. I started saying it again, so I thought I'd complete it. This is something I used to do with Joel, Danny, so I'll do it with you as well. I say anything more from you, and you say no. Mm-hmm. And you say anything more from you, Mark, and I say no. That's it. So okay. You ready?
So we're doing sort of... I mean, we're not coming up with our own new pieces.
Well, we can do it next time.
Okay, go on.
Anything more from you, Danny?
No. Anything more from you, Mark?
You're just a bit harsh. No. So it's got to be fun and jovial.
Okay.
Anything more from you, Danny?
No. Anything more from you, Mark?
Nothing more from... No, you say nothing more from me. That's what you meant to say. Nothing right. More from me, Mark. So anything more from you, Danny?
Nothing more from me, Mark. Anything more from you, Mark?
Nothing more from me, Danny. Hashtag awooga, everybody.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.